Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God upholds the universe by the power of His Word, or by the word of His power. Upholds the universe by the word of His power. He holds everything we count on for our very existence simply by His Word. Tim Keller helped me gain perspective on this when he gave this simplified illustration. If the distance between the Earth and the Sun is 93 million, which is 93 million miles, is merely the thickness of a sheet of paper. Okay? Distance between the Earth and the Sun, 93 million miles, simply understood as a thickness of a sheet of paper. The distance between the Earth and the nearest star would be a stack of paper 70 feet high. And the diameter of our little galaxy would be a stack of paper 310 miles high. And our little galaxy is just a speck of dust in the part of the universe that we can see. The Creator sustains everything. He created everything, and all that we count on for life is sustained by the power of His Word. He created and He sustains everything, seen and unseen, and all that we know and experience as the earth, planets, stars, spiritual beings, humanity, everything. Sustained by His Word. Now, sometimes we look at God as a partner, a helper, someone we cry out to when we have a need. And all those things are true. But is that God who sustains everything by the power of His Word, is He really simply our assistant? Do we really think of Him that way? I think God wants us to right size our view of Him. He wants us to understand that when He tells us that He is God, then that means that He is the Lord, He is the authority, He has all the power. And we meet the name that summarizes all that. For God, in the very first line of the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is the name of our all-powerful Creator. The very first line of the very first book of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the ultimate source. He is the ultimate sovereign. He is the ultimate authority. He made all that is. Nothing was made that He did not make. His fingerprints are everywhere. I like how one commentator said it. It says, he said, everything is brimful of God. John Calvin, one of the great reformers, said, there is not an atom of the world in which one cannot discern at least some bright sparks of His glory. Abraham Kuyper said, the sun, moon, and the stars beckon people to worship the Creator until people lose sight of the living God and begin to worship the sun, moon, stars. And in our culture, we are told that the best God to worship is ourselves. The world truly does revolve around us. And anything that we say is true of us, everyone else has to go along with. Elohim is referred to 32 times in Genesis chapter 1 alone. We aren't introduced to this, to another name of God until chapter 2 of Genesis and verse 4. And that's the name we'll be talking about next week, Yahweh. Elohim is used over 2,500 times in the Old Testament. Elohim is the plural of Eloah and El, which is a name for God which means strength, might, power. When she found out I was doing a series on the names of God, Gail Elliott gave me this book, Praying the Names of God, A Daily Guide by Ann Spangler. If you want to go a step deeper personally in getting to know God better, I highly recommend that you get a hold of a copy of this book. It is really, really helpful, really insightful. She says a lot of really incredible things, or makes you think about God in ways that I hadn't really before. And so I highly recommend it. But I want to read a section for you, and I'm going to ask you to let this insight sink in. Consider what it means that God has revealed himself as Elohim, our creator, who has all power. A mighty God could have created a world quite different from the one we know. It could have had perpetually dark skies, grass that hurt to walk on. I've been in Texas. Some grass hurts to walk on. Dogs that couldn't be housebroken, and people incapable of love. Have you ever wondered why the world you take for granted is often so stunningly beautiful, so pleasant to live in? Why the people around you are capable of so much kindness? So often we miss life's beauty because we are preoccupied by its flaws. Instead of taking off our shoes to feel the feathery soft grass beneath our feet, we complain that it's growing so fast that we can't keep up with it. Rather than enjoying the gregarious woman behind the supermarket counter, we blame her friendly chatter for delaying the checkout line. And what about us? Who stares back from the mirror each morning? A child of God who's growing daily in his image? Or someone whose nose is too big or too small, whose hair is in a perpetual state of rebellion, or whose skin is aged and worn? God wants us to know him for who he is, and he wants us to understand that when we get him in a right-sized perspective, it will help us understand who we are. Because it's only when we see ourselves through who God is that we understand who we truly are and why we're here and what he wants to accomplish in us. So I want to take a minute or two, give us each a moment to pray. The prayer will come up on the screen. Let's take some time and ask God to captivate us with renewed wonder of just how fearfully and wonderfully you are made. Think about even the flaws that you see in yourself, the thing that you try to hide maybe, the thing that maybe even somebody has made a comment about. See that in light of your Creator who made you fearfully, or as we studied Psalm 139 a couple weeks ago, he made you intimately and he made you uniquely you. Take some time. Let's pray. God, as we sang earlier, It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. God, you make our heart beat rhythmically. We don't have to count and we don't have to remind ourselves to make it beat. We don't have to remind ourselves to breathe. You have put us together and you sustain us. Thank you for the way you've made each and every one of us. Your great creativity. Different skin tones, different hairstyles, different languages, different eye color, different everything. Because you love diversity. And you love to bring unity in diversity. We just want to say thank you so much. As I was meditating on this truth, a thought captivated my mind. I can't look at the beauty and interconnectedness of his creation and not exclaim along with David Crowder, God really loves us. God really loves us. I want you to look to the person next to you. And if you're sitting way on the end of a pew and no one else is in that same pew, you're going to have to shout. And look at that person and say, God really loves you. Now, a little more uncomfortable. If you have courage, say this out loud. God really loves me. God really loves me. And when you think about all the things that he did as our creator to make this earth habitable and to make it something that we will enjoy. Elohim is our creator God who possesses and exercises ultimate power and authority. Elohim is also transcendent. In the beginning, God, or Elohim, presumes that before the beginning, Elohim was already in existence. He existed before there was anything. God existed when time and space did not. He transcends. That means he is outside of. He is beyond time, space, and matter. Elohim is transcendent, but he's also immanent. So he's beyond us, he's outside of everything, but he's immanent. He's made himself immanent, which means he is close to us. He decided to come near. That's who Elohim is. He created. He did it outside, not bound by time, but he willingly became personal. As Jesus Christ took on a body. I like how Tony Evans describes immanence. God is here, there, and everywhere. Easy way to remember it. The theological term used to describe God's immanence is omnipresence. That means that God is everywhere present at the same time. There's not a place that God is not. Jeremiah said it this way, Jeremiah quoted God saying it this way, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not an Elohim far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Sometimes we feel like God is nowhere to be found, that he's not aware of our situation, that he could care less what we're going through, but nothing could be further from the truth. We can never escape God's presence. The psalmist said it this way, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light about me be night, even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. Elohim, the Creator, is transcendent and he's eminent. And Elohim is always near. What's more, he's attentive to our cries. Like we saw last week in the Psalms, when we cry out to him, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like he's hearing us, God turns his face toward us. He listens with an intensity. He is personal. I love how personal God is. I mean, think about how he interacted with his creation. Adam and Eve, he walked in the cool of the garden with them every day. He also had face-to-face conversations with the patriarchs. And he became flesh so that we could see him, so that we could know him. You want to understand how God would feel in a particular situation, how we'd act or react in a particular situation? Look at Jesus. God took on flesh so that we could know how God feels, how God acts, how God reacts, how he responds to us when we have sinned, how he responds to us when we're arrogant and prideful, when we forget that his will is different than ours. I don't think Peter is the only one Jesus would say, "Get behind me, Satan," to. Because he is personal. He's involved in your world. He's involved in my world. He became one of us. God is personal. Elohim is also the restorer. Now, when the earth was in its uninhabitable state, Genesis 1:2 tells us that the earth was formless and void, not habitable for humanity. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, hovered over it. And God said, "Let there be light." He brought that uninhabitable into a place where he would restore it so that humanity could live here. And it's not long before the earth teems with life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Behold, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation." He's always about creating things new. "They're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything is becoming new." One of my very favorite verses, Revelation 21:5, where Jesus says, "Behold, I am making everything new." Everything new. Elohim is a restorer. Elohim is our creator who exercises ultimate power and authority. He's both transcendent, that is, he's outside of everything, and he's eminent, he's personal. He's restorer. Whatever challenge or change that confronts you, let it drive you to Elohim. Because all that is, he created, and he's in the business of recreating you and me, if we will simply let him. Elohim is my creator who came to recreate me. Now, that's not all he came to do, but that's the thought I want us to consider and to leave with today. Elohim is my creator who came to recreate me. He came actually to redeem and recreate everything that we see. Everything is under the curse, Romans 8 tells us. All of creation groans until Christ comes back to redeem it and restore it. But it begins with you and me. Because when we understand what he's done for us and we live into that redemption that he's given for us, then it changes us and it makes us people of redemption to where we're telling other people about what Christ did for us so that he can do the same thing for them. And we're looking at the world and we're saying, you know, this is not how God wants us to be. He wants us to care for all of his creation, to be part of his plan to restore what he's already redeemed. I want to take another few moments and pray. I want to encourage you to bring your need, your loss, your brokenness, your mess, whether you made the mess or you inherited it, bring it to God and ask him to show you where he's at work in the midst of your storm to create something new or to recreate something in you. Let's pray. You are amazing, God. You see the depths of our heart, and you love us the same. You see the pain that we're struggling with. You see the loss that we're grieving. You see the lack that we're concerned about. You see the giants that are on our horizon that we're just beginning to see. And we're so grateful that we can come to you anytime and you hear us. We ask you, God, to put it deep in our hearts and souls so that the very first thing that we learn to do is to bring everything to you. Because you are the God who cares. You created. You're about creating. You're about new creation and recreation. We give ourselves to you, God, and we ask you to do just that for us. Now, the term Elohim is also used to refer to other beings. This is kind of an interesting use of this term. Beings who have delegated and limited authority. Elohim, the Elohim, we'll come to know him in verse 4 of chapter 2 as Yahweh Elohim. He has ultimate authority. But there are beings that have been given delegated authority and limited authority. Delegated by Elohim, limited by Elohim. So Elohim, the term Elohim is used of demons. Speaking of Israel, Moses wrote, they sacrificed to demons, the word there is shadim, they sacrificed to demons that were no gods, that's Eloah, that's the singular form of Elohim, no Elohim, or Eloah, to gods Elohim they had never known. So they sacrificed to these beings that they had that Israel had never known. And they turned themselves away from God. Elohim is also used of pagan idols. Remember when Jacob and his family are trying to get away from evil Uncle Laban? And they've traveled, but there's so many of them. They have so many children. They go really slow. Laban finally catches up with them. And this is what he says. Now you've gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. Had nothing to do with me being a jerk to you. But why did you steal my Elohim? Why did you steal my gods, my idols? Elohim was used of humans who were appointed as God's representatives. Moses was God's representative to Aaron. Moses was God's Elohim to Aaron. He shall speak for you to the people, Exodus 4 says, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as Elohim to him. But then there are also another classification of people that are called Elohim. When God appointed judges to stand in his stead and pass judgment for people in the courts, this is what it says of those judges. I said, you are gods, or Elohim, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. So what had happened was these judges were perverting justice and God was judging them. But he calls them Elohim. Now, rest assured that any of these Elohim are serving, functioning under delegated and limited authority. They cannot go beyond what Jesus says that they can do. Elohim has authority over all Elohim. Psalm 95 says, for the Lord, Yahweh, is a great God, El, singular of Elohim, and a great king above all Elohim. He is above all of these other beings as well. Yahweh is Elohim, and there is no Elohim like Yahweh. That's how I would summarize the teaching about Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh is Elohim, and there is no Elohim like Yahweh. He is supreme. He is the God of gods. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Psalm 97 says, for you, O Lord, Yahweh, our most high king, Melech, over all the earth, you are exalted far above all Elohim. If it were not for Elohim, our creator God, the distance between us and God would be a stack of paper. Remember, one sheet of paper is 93 million miles. Would be a stack of paper an infinite distance. But if we receive what he reveals to us about himself, he will span that infinite distance between us and him in an instant. Elohim has revealed himself to us because he wants to be known by us. He wants us to understand who he is. He wants us to know him rightly. He wants us to worship him rightly. He is the creator God who has supreme power and authority. He is outside of and beyond us. And yet he chose to be with us. He is personal. He's our restorer. And every other authority that has any authority, he is their authority. Elohim is my creator who came to recreate me. And we can come to him knowing that that is what he wants to accomplish in our lives. It doesn't matter how you might have blown it. It doesn't matter how broken you are. There is nothing beyond the scope of what he can't do to heal, to make it new, to recreate. That is who Elohim is. If after the service you're interested in talking to someone, praying with someone, we'll have the elders will be in the library for this time, just to give you a chance to talk with someone, to pray. Or you can just go in there and pray on your own as well, because it gets kind of loud in here with people talking afterwards. Let's pray. Elohim, you are our great creator. Everything that is was created by you. You are our great restorer. Even though you transcend us, you're way above and beyond us, you chose to come to this earth to be personal and present with us. You restore, you recreate, and you are the ultimate authority over every authority that can be named. Thank you. And thank you for including us in your family through the death of Jesus and faith in him. Father, I pray that you would speak to each of us right where we are. Whatever you want to say to us about whatever situation in each of our individual lives, apply the truth that you are our creator who came to recreate us so that we can be part of your recreative plan for this earth and the lives of every other person who needs Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.